Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is an Intel Studios production.
Should we unwrap it?
Should we tap and unwrap? What was that?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of series 2 of Making the Cut. I'm Davina McCall.
And I'm Michael Douglas, currently unwrapping something.
Yeah.
For your delight.
For your delight, our delight. It is a listener recommendation. Should I say listener or should I just call him one of your best mates?
He's one of my best mates. We can call him that. Yeah. And he also listens. He's a mixture of both of those things.
Great. There's quite a few of those.
Yeah, there is.
Quite a few of your best mates listen.
A lot of my old friends listen that I used to hang around with like 25 years ago have tapped into this. One, as you should get a mention, is Giff.
Giff.
Martin Gifford he's called. And he's my oldest friend, Giff.
You've got to put, because there's a picture of Giff on your wall in your kitchen.
There is, yeah.
And you need to post that picture on the Intel app.
Yeah, okay.
So we can all see Giff, because I saw Giff in that picture last night.
You've never seen Giff before, right?
No, this week we are recording from Michael's kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is famous if you listen to his hair talks on his Instagram page on Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah.
It's famous.
Semi-famous.
Well, it's a bit like... So Michael and I this week, we've been working on The Masked Singer.
Mm.
And I got to see backstage last night. And I got so overexcited about seeing where the masked singers stand and do their little bit.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah.
That backstage?
Yes. And I had to get ushered through quite quickly and avert my eyes and everything in case I saw someone. But I was so excited to see that side of the workings because I'm never allowed back there.
Now, I have seen the celebrities with...
What?
I don't know who they are.
Oh,
but
okay.
I've seen their bodies.
What?
But yeah. But weirdly, they wear a black visor.
Yes.
But it's ironic that they were wearing visors last year.
We were so ahead of our time.
Yes, that now we're all wearing visors. It's like we're all the Mask Singer. Anyone could be the singer.
Mean, the irony of seeing the Mask Singers up on the stage and then the entire studio audience also all in masks is quite weird.
Asking for the removal of a mask. Take it off. God, please
let me take it off. Please can we take ours off?
So you saw backstage that backstage. Yes. That's another backstage altogether.
It was really exciting.
You are access all areas.
All areas.
Mm.
So, it's very nice to be here. Thank you for having me into your kitchen.
It's a total pleasure. As you can see, you're surrounded by condiments.
Yes. This is also worth a photo.
Oh, I'm going to post this. This is my condiment tree. We've had lots of messages of people saying, oh my God, I've really upped my condiment game since episode whatever of Making the Cut. But the condiment situation is outrageous.
The condiment situation is amazing.
Condiments are king. It's my favourite Lego character in the Lego movie, the Condiment King. He squirts a ketchup and mustard.
It's you.
I am the condiment.
That is you.
Yeah.
Shall we start with a condiment?
So totally, yeah. It seems like the most appropriate thing to do.
So talk me through Pip.
So I met Pip when I was probably about 18, 17 or 18. I'd left home and I lived in this house in Leyland. But Pip was like the Magnum PI of Leyland. I don't know how else to describe him. He was like a movie star.
And he's such a man.
He's very manly.
Very manly.
He had a beard, he had long hair, and he had a Hawaiian shirt on, and he drove a Range Rover when he was about, 24 or something.
Can you get a picture of that?
Possibly. And he was a water skier and all sorts of things. He was quite an exotic character in Leyland.
But he's so funny because he's still exotic.
Yeah, he's quite exotic, isn't he?
He can do a lot of really cool stuff.
Yes. He's a proper man.
On water.
Yes, largely on water. He lives in Lake Windermere and he owns a wake surfing company. I think it's wake surfing.
You surf the wake of the boat.
Yes. So he owns a wake surfing called Windermere Wake Surfing Company. And he's taken me wake surfing and I have wake surfed within 15 minutes of tuition from
Pip. You could I mean, you can recommend that. It is a bit of nepotism.
Yeah.
But it is something that our listeners would really enjoy. Yeah. And you've got maybe a couple of months left to wake surf with nice-ish weather.
And he's just got a brand new boat, and it is a dream of
really?
A boat.
Really?
Yeah, God, it's absolutely gorgeous. So Windermere Wake Surf, you can follow it on Instagram, we'll put a post up. But if you're going to Lake District, book in for an hour or something like that. I think it's £120 an hour.
And you'd be amazed at what you can learn.
Yeah, four or five of you can get on the boat in that time. And he has this headset, you put a helmet on and a headset, and then he talks to you from the boat.
Oh, so you're in the water and he can direct you.
So he can direct you. And you're up very quickly. Me and both kids did it last summer. And I was amazed that all of us wake surfed. And you wake surf without a rope. So you pull by a rope initially, then you let go of the rope and you just surf the wake.
That video of you doing it is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Brilliant, isn't it?
I was like, there must be a rope. How is that happening?
Yeah.
How are you keeping up with the boat?
Physics. And science and nature, I think, is all kicking off. I've known Pip all that time, really. So he had a big house. He was divorced at like 23. So he had this great big four-bedroom house and he was rattling around in it. So he put three of his best mates in it.
Oh, God, I bet that was carnage.
Now, I wasn't one of his best mates at the time, but I quickly became one of his best mates because I wanted a room in that house. So we all lived together. Me, Digger Barnes, Pip, and a guy called John Massey, who's changed his name, I think, since then for various reasons. And it was for 2 or 3 years, probably the greatest 2 or 3 years of my life. It was hilarious. And then I moved to London and we stayed in touch. You know, he's now one of my kind of best, closest and most brilliant friends.
So we all got together recently and we were talking about the podcast and Pip got very excited about Stokes ketchup.
Yeah.
Which is basically a must have. And I said, yeah, but is it as good as Heinz? Because I am a Heinz all the way. And I have tried other ketchups. I just wanted to say.
Me too.
By the way, that's a neighbour's dog. I'm just, for the record, letting everybody know that
it's not
that is
my
not
dog.
Your
yeah.
dog. Yeah, that's a sort of private joke.
Yeah.
I wonder if you've ever tried Wonder Chup.
No.
So Wonder Chup is another kind of ketchup replacement. It's got no sugar in it. I mean, Wonder Chup isn't ketchup. It is a tomato-based something. It feels extremely healthy. Yeah, it's more of a tomato sauce. But this
can't read it. My eyesight's getting so bad.
Stokes tomato ketchup. And Pip is not the only person that has recommended Stokes.
We've had a few listeners say you've got to try Stokes.
So, tomatoes. There is unrefined. What are those?
These are my cheap glasses, plus ones. From Tiger, the Flying Tiger.
Shut up. They're amazing.
Are they?
But they are... Wait, give me a picture. Oh my God, this is amazing. Oh, I love you so much.
What about? Are you laughing at me? Or...
I can't tell. I don't know if I'm laughing or loving or what.
Show me the picture. I don't know what I like. Some kind of cartoon character. Like what?
Yes.
I was just trying to read this bit here, so I put these glasses on, which I would recommend, by the way. They come in plus ones, plus twos, and plus threes. I've got a plus three somewhere for when I'm model making.
I mean, Flying Tiger's ridiculous.
It's great. £2.50 these are.
It's so good.
It's not a single-use plastic. I've had these for a year now, and I use them all the time. So just to set the record straight there. We only do delicious. That's what I was trying to read.
Okay. I'm just reading the ingredients.
Yep.
It is tomatoes, unrefined raw cane sugar, spirit vinegar, corn flour, sea salt, garlic powder. So, I mean, there is sugar in it.
Yep.
But I think that's what makes ketchup ketchup.
Oh, I've got to dip something in it.
I'm just going to dip my finger in it.
Okay. Chipstick here.
Okay.
Salt and vinegar chipstick.
Classically difficult to get out of the bottle.
That's a good sign, though, right?
Yeah, good sign. The texture is good so far.
Okay.
It's
very dark.
It's dark. It's much darker than a Heinz.
It looks like a barbecue sauce, really.
Yeah. I'm going to dip my finger in it.
Okay. Steady on. What?
Holy.
Macaroni.
Oh, my God. That's really good.
I think what I'd like to dip in it most of all is a Greg sausage roll. Oh, wow, it's good, isn't it?
Oh, my God, it's so good.
It's the garlic, I think.
Seriously nice. It's very smooth, obviously, needs to be smooth, but there's none of that kind of, doesn't feel like pulped tomatoes.
No, no.
Really smooth, very sweet, which I'm afraid we've all come to sort of need in a ketchup.
Yeah.
But I've got to say, I think I prefer that to
Heinz.
To Heinz, which I never ever thought in a million years I would ever say.
Well, it's very, very good. This is Heinz. Let's just put a square.
Oh, we've got my God, we can do a compare and contrast. Condiment King. Oh, yeah, look, it's much darker than
Heinz. Yeah, and in fact, the Heinz looks very synthetic all of a sudden, doesn't it, compared to the Stokes?
Right, I'm going to try the Heinz. Yes, and interestingly, it tastes more synthetic.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it does, doesn't it? God, it's much sweeter.
Oh, I'll tell you what it is. The Stokes tastes much more tomato-y.
Mm. But also garlicky.
Well, listen, everybody that's listening, we are not dissing Heinz in any way, but we are highly recommending that you all go and try a Stokes tomato ketchup.
I have seen it's
extraordinary.
I've seen it in Sainsbury's and Waitrose and all that stuff. I'm sure I have, yeah.
Because I couldn't find it in Sainsbury's, but
your Sainsbury's
maybe it might
Wells,
be
though.
My... Oh, yeah. No, bad?
Yeah, it's not nearly as good as Sainsbury's St Albans. I mean, come on.
Stokes, I'm trying to look for the price because I'd quite like to do a price comparison. Could you look up on yours? Because suddenly I have to prove that I'm not a robot to Google. God.
I mean, Stokes ketchup.
And I'm going to look up Heinz and look at the price.
Yeah, Waitrose Tesco's, it says.
Yeah.
£2.49 at Waitrose.
Yeah, well, it's £2.50 for ketchup, Heinz tomato ketchup.
Oh.
But it looks like quite a...
It's a big bottle, that, is it? 460 grams. And this
yours?
Is 300 grams.
Okay, so Stokes is more expensive, but I would say if you can afford it, it's a good purchase. It would be worth it.
It is very good.
It's very, 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 very nice.
I've gone to a website here called the Cotswolds Fair, and you can buy 6 580-gram bottles of it for £15.70. That's a bargain.
I got six of these.
300 mils. Yeah. Well, it's absolutely gorgeous. I am very much looking forward to buying pastry-based products and eating it with it.
I have also got another condiment for you to try next time because when people talked about Stokes tomato ketchup, they also then said garlic mayonnaise.
Oh, I love garlic mayonnaise.
Well, Stokes make a garlic mayonnaise.
Oh, do they?
Yes, and it's in my fridge and I forgot to bring it. So that can be next
week. Next week, so I'd like to do that. Do you know what we should do then for next week? Is I should maybe fry some calamari or something we could dip into the thing.
Or just chips.
Chips. Let's do chips.
I'll do chips. The other thing is...
You haven't got a deep fat fry.
I haven't got a deep fat fry, no.
Got to get you one of them. Happy birthday.
It's soon.
I know it is. Believe me, I'm terrified.
Just want to say that Stokes do not pay us. We are not paid by any of the businesses that we feature. They didn't give us the products to try out. We would always be very transparent about that. I bought the ketchup.
Yeah, we're not paid by anybody yet, which is heartbreaking.
It's really annoying.
So, Stokes, if you're listening. I've got one big thing I want to talk about, but I feel like I want to do that.
Shall we do another little thing?
Yeah, let's do another
first.
Little thing, yeah.
So I quickly wanted to talk to you about candy floss grapes.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't tried them yet, they are ridiculous because they actually do genuinely taste like cotton candy.
Yeah, but have you noticed there's another variety now?
Well, there's loads of them.
They're all springing up. They've all got
different
flavours.
There's strawberry grapes, there's muscat grapes, there's... Because what they're doing, so candy floss grapes were developed by this horticulturist called David Kane.
Mm-hmm.
They're California based and he is actually a fruit breeder, which is such an odd concept.
Oh my God.
So it's called Fruit Breeder International Fruit Genetics.
Wow.
So they are now, but like they're doing constantly with blooming puppies, nothing's just a pug anymore.
Yeah.
It's a puggle, fluggle, boggle, poodle, puddle.
Puggle? Is a puggle a dog then?
A puggle is a poodle and a pug.
And a pug.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a hybrid of grapes, but then, don't look at my
writing.
Okay,
sorry, no, I'm not looking
at
them.
But then, because I want to ask you a question, but then they took a hybrid of two grapes I guess you mix the grapes, you taste it, and you think, well, what does that taste like?
Yeah.
And he has come across a cotton candy grape. It is the sweetest grape I've ever eaten in my life. Like a few years ago, when we were having a chat and you were talking about if you wrapped a grape up in
tin foil
and gave it to a small child and said, here's a sweetie, they would 100% be so happy with that.
Oh, it would be the most amazing sweet you'd ever put in your mouth. Like, forget a Quality Street or a Haribo or whatever. If you put a grape in your mouth and thought, it's a sweet, like you unwrapped it, you'd go like, wow. Where can I get a pack of them from?
Yeah.
They're amazing, yeah.
So cotton candy grapes are that,
yes,
effectively. My son can demolish a box of cotton candy. I mean, we have to buy sort of four at a time.
Do you think they're sweeter? Do you think there's more sugar in them or something?
Well, they must be higher in fructose. If it tastes sweeter, it must have more fructose in it, maybe.
It would be interesting to find that out, actually. I'm going to do a bit of digging around on that, because it is quite interesting. Or maybe it's just that your receptors in your mouth receive the flavours differently or something like that, you know.
Yeah, we should look into that.
I'd like to know, yeah.
And I came across three other hybrid names.
Okay.
I had to look them up,
yeah,
what they were. So one was Pluots.
Right.
What's that?
A Pluots grape. Yeah.
No, it's not a grape.
Oh, it's
what
not
is a,
grape. A
Pluot? It's a fruit.
Oh, is it? A Pluot.
This is a bit difficult, though, because
It
is a hybrid of the prunus.
Okay,
types.
So it's a prune. Like
so
a plum.
Any kind of prunus, plum,
yeah,
pitted fruit, it's a blend of those, and it would be called a pluot.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is an easy one.
Okay.
A peacherine.
Or a nectarine, a peach.
But I don't really understand, why would you blend those two? Because
they're the same,
one's got
they?
Fur and one hasn't. But
they taste the same.
They taste the same.
I totally agree.
So what has it got? A little bit of fur?
Yeah.
Like what would the...
It's a bit of fluff.
What's the point?
Yeah, there's no point in that.
Okay, next one, cherum.
A cherry and a bomb.
Plum, cherry and a plum.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I was like...
Cherry and a plum. So it's a fruit with a stone. Yeah, go on. Oh, I love that. You went all serious.
Yes, because cherry is my all-time favourite fruit. And I would say plum is my next all-time favourite fruit. So... where can I get a cherub?
I am going to find you one.
Oh, God.
And I will bring it to you.
I would really be happy about that.
Would
you? The other thing I love, a greengage.
Oh, I love a greengage.
Oh, what? Why have they been restricted from... Yeah. The only place I can get those is Costco. You go to Costco, but you have to buy like 13 kilos of them. Don't get anything less than that.
But greengage, funnily enough, feels old-fashioned.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I suppose. It's like a gooseberry. It feels like an old-fashioned... We're talking next level 2030 kind of fruits here.
Fruit
These
science.
Are like the next gen fruits. But I'm going to find you a cherum and I'm going to give it to you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm very, very excited about
that.
So what's he called? A fruit breeder, this guy. David what?
A fruit breeder. He's called David Kane. He's in California.
It's such a
and
great
he's in
name.
He does international fruit genetics.
It's quite easy to breed two dogs, right? You get one to have sex with the other.
Yeah, but how do you do fruit?
You do fruit.
Yeah.
You insert a seed into the other seed.
Think of all the food that we could be blending.
Yes. Well, there was that story about carrots used to be purple, didn't they? And then they breeded them to be orange.
I didn't know that.
Did you not know that?
No.
And carrots were originally purple.
Because I've seen purple carrots.
Yeah, well, that's what they originally were.
Oh.
And then they breeded them in some way to make them orange so people would kind of eat them more.
No.
I mean, I don't know how true that story is, but somebody has told me that carrots were purple.
What is wrong with your mouth today?
Well, shall we discuss why I might be... huh? We'll never be hosting This Morning at this rate. The editor of This Morning will listen to this episode and go, God almighty, you can barely speak, that guy. We'll never screen test those two for this show. Why would I be stumbling with my words right
so,
now?
So, after we reviewed Alpha Brain, we thought nootropics were quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So last week I went online to see if there were other nootropics, which are brain feeders. Alpha Brain is, you can't get it anywhere.
It's just sold out everywhere, isn't
it?
It's amazing that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's just Instagram.
I mean, I think
Joe
that's
Rogan's
America,
podcast.
Though. And you have to ship it over from America.
Okay.
And there is one distributor here.
Oh, okay.
And they've just run out. So this is called Focus. And it is by Brainzyme, found on Amazon. And it supports clearer thinking and get more done. However, this one, unlike
Alpha Brain,
they call it drug-free because it has no stimulants in it whatsoever. It's got no caffeine, yes. No guarana, no stimulants, not yeah. natural stimulants.
Yeah, no CBD or anything like that yeah. stuff. Yeah, yeah.
It's all herbs. And I actually really liked Alpha Brain. This Focus, however, has got a bit of guarana in it.
Okay.
And guarana is the thing that it's a stimulant. It's a natural caffeine. I wouldn't like to say it's better for you than caffeine because I don't know. I'm not a nutritionist, but it's a natural form of caffeine. But I think that it's an uncomfortable feeling. So we took two this morning each.
Yes.
But it's completely natural. It isn't a drug of any sort. I drink a lot of caffeine in a day.
Yeah.
And I don't like the feeling that that gives me.
And how are you feeling now? We took this about half an hour ago.
I'm feeling all right.
Yes.
I feel like you've got the jitters.
I do feel like I've got the jitters a bit.
Yeah. I don't feel like that. But caffeine doesn't affect me in the same way that really it affects you. Me. So I can drink a cup of coffee and go to bed.
Mm-hmm. It is worth pointing out that we've both exercised this morning. We both ran 5K and we've done a workout.
I'm quite proud of that.
You should be very proud. We did a very good run. It was very hot. So it might be also the exercise is difficult, isn't it, unless you did a kind of trial over a long period of time to work out. But I took this about an hour ago, took two of them. It says on the pack to take 2 to 3, but I only weigh about 9.5 stone, so I'm always on, I always err on the side of caution. There's not that much blood in my body for me to be taking three of these. The writing's so small, I can't even read the back of it. But take 2 to 3 capsules with a large glass of water without food for best results. For example, 30 minutes before or 60 minutes after food.
But I would say you wouldn't want anybody under 18.
No. If you want a stronger effect, increase the dosage. Don't take more than 6 capsules in any
one day. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Somebody would take 6 of those. Mm. I definitely wouldn't do that. You would feel horrible if you took that many.
But, I mean, if you were 15 stone or something, it probably would...
I don't know. So it's got ginseng in it. It's got guarana seed. That's the thing that's... It's got turmeric. It's got camellia. I don't really know what that means. It's got ginkgo biloba, which... these are all the things that were in...
Alpha Brain. Okay.
Except for the guarana. They don't have guarana in it.
So it'd be interesting to see how we get on over the next half hour if my words can start to cohesive. That's cocaine.
One capsule contains approximately 40 milligrams of caffeine, plant source equivalent.
Oh, okay.
Equivalent to 1/3 of a cup of filter coffee.
Yeah.
So one capsule is equivalent to 1/3 of a cup of filter coffee.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think in a strong cup of coffee, it's 120 milligrams of caffeine.
Mm.
I did read, you know that caffeine's got a half-life of, I think, 6 hours. So after you've drunk your cup of coffee, 6 hours later, half of the caffeine is still in you. So if you drink if you drink another cup of coffee within that six-hour period, so you can get a build-up, basically, of caffeine that's always floating around your system. I don't know, but you sleep quite remarkably
well. This is interesting. Brainzyme is supported with a Scottish Government innovation grant.
Ah, yeah. Well, they want them to work a bit harder up there, don't they? That's the thing. I'm Scottish, by the way, so I can make Scottish jokes, I think.
You're allowed. I want to hear about your documentary because you told me a bit about this yesterday and it sounds absolutely fantastic.
It is great. I mean, it's something for the husbands and the men, potentially, but I agree.
Can I just stop you right there?
Yes, you can.
That's actually insulting.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll take it on the chin.
Cheryl and I both want to watch it, so that was sexist. Okay.
It was a bit sexist. I take it back. Okay. So people will remember I recommended the Vietnam War documentary by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick a while ago, which is still just an outstanding bit of work. It's gone off Netflix, and I'm getting lots of people messaging us saying, where can I get this Vietnam War docs? It's gone off Netflix. What Netflix do is they buy a license for a certain period of time and then the license runs out, so they take it off.
I didn't know that.
And then they usually buy the license again and then you'll get it back. So it probably will come back. If not, you can buy these things on Amazon for about $1.89 an episode if you buy it in standard definition, which I have to say I would recommend. If you're going to buy a movie, I would just buy everything in standard definition.
Yes. I hate HD.
Your eyes probably aren't good enough anyway to be watching HD. I mean, it's just incredibly... weird, I think, and it turns everything kind of slightly surreal.
It's too lifelike. Yeah.
So I'd only buy stuff in standard definition myself. So this is an earlier documentary that he made before the Vietnam War one, and it's actually just called The War.
I don't think there is such a thing as a good war. There are sometimes necessary wars. And I think one might say just wars. And that I never questioned the necessity of that war, and I still do not question it.
Is it made by the same person that made the Vietnam?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he has a history of making these documentaries. So he made one about the Civil War, I believe, which is when he became very famous, I think, for making it. Then he made the Vietnam War one.
Are you going to watch that next, the Civil War?
I think I probably will, yeah. But Andy, my very good friend, has put me onto a documentary about the Watergate scandal that was made last year, and he says it's fantastic. So that's next on my list. I love Watergate, and I love the Nixon controversy.
Amazing.
Do you know, I think...
Can we watch that together?
I'd love to do that, yeah. I think what happened with Richard Nixon altered politics around the world forever. And ruined it, really, because we then realised that politicians lie and you just can't trust them. But up to that point, I think, generally speaking, you thought they were decent, honourable people that had your back, and Nixon blew it
for
the world.
Actually.
Yeah, it's absolutely shocking, I think, that. So anyway, can't wait to watch that. But anyway, this one's called The War. And it's based around four small American towns. Can't remember what they all are. Sacramento, Mobile, Alabama, and there's two others. But essentially, from the eyes of those small towns, they experience the war. Now, my experience of the Second World War has always been Dunkirk, the D-Day landings, the race to Berlin. In Russia, they call it the Great Patriotic War. And we always call it World War II, but it's largely us against the Nazis, you know. And I don't know a lot about the Italian involvement. I don't know a lot about North Africa. I know bits and pieces, but not that much. And then I really don't know very much about the Japanese and the American War, but that was their war, arguably. And it starts a year or two after 1939. It starts about 1941, I think, Pearl Harbor. And
Can I ask you something? Sorry to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm such a Neanderthal.
You're not at all, history. Because...
Did the Brits get involved in the
Japanese
American
War? Not really, no.
But, like, it's amazing that the Americans got so involved for us.
Yes, we needed them, I think. Yeah. I think we...
Well, they really did. I mean, that's why we have that special friendship. Anyway, carry on.
In 1941, I mean, the things you learn in these documentaries are so good. I mean, it's like going back to school and doing, you know, a year's solid work just on World War II. I mean, I just learned so much considering I thought I knew a lot anyway. But... In 1941, the American army was smaller than Romania's army. It was tiny, had 140,000 soldiers in it.
There's
nobody in it. They barely had any aircraft, they barely had any warships, they had virtually nothing, really. They couldn't fight a war.
Really?
When the Japanese went and bombed Pearl Harbor, they had nothing in preparation to deal with that at all. What they managed to do in a 6 month to a year period is transform themselves into the biggest fighting machine in the world. And it's an incredible kind of achievement that to turn that around in such short space time. So every factory in America that was making cars started making tanks. Like everything just grind to a halt. Nobody made anything other than things for war. Bullets, helmets, clothing. Everybody got stuck in.
Wow.
But one of the things that's...
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Amazing about it that you learn, and I'll do a few spoilers in here, but is that, you know, black people weren't allowed to work on building ships or anything. They were allowed to lug stuff around, you know, to help people build ships, but they weren't allowed on riveting duties. They weren't allowed.
In 1941.
It transformed the idea of equality as well. I mean, people always say that there's two things that equalize the world: war and pestilence. And you can see how it happens, even at a kind of very low level, is that in the end, they really needed these black people. So you see them start to integrate more and more, and then they become foremen, and then they become shipbuilders. But they weren't allowed to join the Royal Marines.
At the beginning. But then by the end they were?
At the end of the war, as long as they went straight to the front line.
It's astonishing.
Terrible. So it's not just a documentary about war, it's a documentary about America.
Social history.
And the transformation that took place between all these ethnic groups. The other thing is that if you were an American citizen but born to Japanese ancestry, you were put straight in prison as soon as Pearl Harbor took place.
So even if child, you were born in the States...
Even if you were an American citizen but had Japanese parents, you were put straight in a concentration camp and treated appallingly. It's incredible what happened there. So that's another aspect that I knew nothing about. So you were an American person, you know. And these Japanese Americans wanted to fight against their own... people.
Yeah, for their country, they weren't allowed.
They were later on again, you know, in the end. Yes. The army basically said, we'll take anyone who will fight. Yes. You know. So there's all that side of it as well, which is utterly fascinating and what you learn. And then there are these amazing heroic stories in there, because you get these talking heads of these people who are now in their... I mean, the documentary was made in 2007, I think. So you get these people in their 70s and 80s as talking heads telling you a little bit about what their involvement was at the beginning and how they wanted to go to war and fight for their country and stuff like that. And you think, oh, look at this old guy who went to fight. As the documentary goes on, you learn about what they did. I mean, it literally reduces you to tears of what they went through and the experiences they had, the people they lost, how they're still alive. And when you see them as old people, you know, you just, it's hard to comprehend the things they did. It was the first war that was properly documented by photographs and video, but there is video of, and photographs of these people as young men fighting, getting out of planes, on fire, shooting people. You know, like, it's just incredible the stories you hear.
And when you see them as old men and then you see them as young men, what's that like?
It's just fascinating. I can't even begin, because you can see they're the same person. You can see the shape of their face and their eyes and stuff like that. And you go, God, it's the same person. But he's 22 years old there. And he's probably...
22.
Or maybe even younger. Some of them are 19, 18, 19.
Yesterday you told me about a pilot and you said he was a pilot and he was 21 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just thinking... A 21-year-old pilot, that is so young. And the bravery, that story was so completely extraordinary. He must have thought in that instance that he was going to die at least 5 or 6 times.
Oh, every time you go out, I guess. He said he'd go out with 5 planes and he'd be the only plane that came back, you know. The footage they've got is amazing, but I keep asking myself, why am I enjoying watching these documentaries? What is it I like about them? Is it a bit weird that I'm watching all this death and destruction and all the rest of it? But I think, after quite a bit of analysis, I think it makes me feel so grateful and so happy to be living in this time where none of us or our kids or anything will ever really have to strap on a gun and do that.
Yeah,
it's very strange. And, of course, you hear these talking head interviews from these people that say that the idea of ever killing somebody was so far from anything I could ever really think of doing. And then my friend got hit direct by a mortar shell and all I found of him was his foot. And he said, I picked up a gun and was desperate to kill. And he said, and I killed hundreds and hundreds of Germans or Japanese or whatever. And you think, God, like, it's in everybody, the capacity and the ability to kill.
Do you think it is?
Yeah, I do. I completely do. And I think that's the amazing thing about watching these documentaries is you realise... that it is within everybody. It, under the right circumstances, you would
and
do
would
it.
Do you think that once you have killed and then you go back to normal life, you are...
You're different. I think
you must be different, but is there a sense of guilt? Is there a sense of regret, remorse?
I'm on episode 4, and I would assume as we go along, we'll find a bit more about that. But, you know, there's people killing each other at close quarters and all sorts of stuff, and the stories of that, you know. But one of the amazing things is this Japanese guy takes his son to the bus. So the Japanese have now been allowed to fight for the Americans, and his dad drops him off at the bus, and they sat on the bus together. And his dad looks at him and he says, "Dad's Japanese, you know, doesn't really speak any American." But he says, "This country has been good to our family. It's given me a job, it's given us a home, and it's given you an education." And he says, "We must honour this country." And you think, it's put you in prison, for God's sake, you know. And he said, "And if you die, die with honour, you know." And then he says goodbye to his son. And it's just breathtaking, you know, that what people go through. And then what they go on to do. And then hearing these stories years later from these old men about what they did.
But do you also think part of the reason why you like watching something like that is because, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. Biologically, you as a man, you know, you do have that kind of fight club, fight, kind of survive man thing going on. Biologically,
I think so. You know, it's a personality trait.
Where you will not get to do that.
Yes,
I mean that's what that film Fight Club was all about. Is having an outlet
nowhere to put it,
where you can go and put all that testosterone and aggression.
If
for something, you know, going to just have a fight on Saturday night outside the pub, you know, that is not positive. But when you're fighting a war and you're defending your country and you can go and channel all of that kind of testosterone and aggression somewhere because you're doing it for a purpose. We don't have that anymore. Like, where are men and women going? Like, what are we doing?
One of the other fascinating things is it goes back to America quite a lot and looks at what the women were doing back in America and how they all went to work in these munitions factories. And there was a very famous riveter called Rosie the Riveter. I don't think you ever heard of
no.
her. But I mentioned her the other day to these two clients that I was doing. They went, "Oh, yeah, Rosie the Riveter. Like, she was legendary. Everybody knew about her. Like, she became..."
Why?
Well, she was just this kind of famous woman who riveted planes. And they were putting them out at 10,000 a week or something, these aeroplanes. She became the foreman of this huge factory and became the chief riveter, you know, overseeing all these other men that were riveting, you know. And, of course, a woman had never been in a position like that before, but there was the teacher at the nursery that said Rosie used to come up and collect her kids after she'd finished at the factory, and she'd have the welding mask on and the big gloves on and all that and walk into school and pick up her kids. So that was great. And there's just lots of stories about what women went through during the war, but the worst things, obviously, is finding out that their kids were dead. And there's this one woman, which is the Saving Private Ryan story, which she had 5 kids in the war and 4 of them were dead. And one of them was ordered home immediately because they couldn't bear to know this woman had lost all her kids, you know. And of course, the Private Ryan story is that, isn't it? You know, where they go and try and find Private Ryan because all his brothers have been killed. So whether that's an inspiration for that film or not, I don't know. But I couldn't recommend it enough. It gets 9 on IMDb.
Wow.
The music
Nine.
Yeah. It's narrated by all sorts of brilliant actors. Tom Hanks narrates big chunks of it.
Oh, really?
You'll recognise several other big voices in there. Samuel L. Jackson's in there as well.
Wow.
And then there's one key narrator who's just got a great voice. But there's no better documentary maker in the world, I don't think, than Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. And there's 7 episodes. They're 2 hours long.
It's quite long,
isn't it? So it's great. You don't have to sit it all in one sitting. I just watch it in chunks, like 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, a bit when I get into bed. And wherever I'm just, you know, having a cup of tea and relaxing, I'll just watch 10, 15 minutes of it. But it's just brilliant. And it's something everybody should watch. I think kids should watch, certainly over the age of 14, I would say, because there is some horrific photographs in the thing. And to go on IMDb, have a look at some of the reviews and things like that. But it is amazing. I was just having a look here. There was one other thing that they'd said about the Japanese soldiers, these Americans saying the Japanese soldiers were the most ferocious soldiers you could ever fight. And it says that if you rounded up, it's 50,000 Americans rounded up 50,000 Germans with guns and everything, the Germans would surrender. No problem, you know. But you said you could surround one Japanese soldier with 50,000 Americans and he'll fight until the death. He'll still keep shooting at you. So he said, you had no option but to kill them all. They would never surrender, you know. And it is a frightening thought that when people just won't give up. And obviously that's why they ended up dropping the atomic bomb on there, because they had no choice, really. They just would not stop fighting. You know? But anyway, it's brilliant. So kids, dads, ladies, daughters, definitely go and watch
it. So they dropped the atomic bomb to stop the Japanese fighting?
Yeah, because they just wouldn't give up.
Wow.
And it was like, okay, we're going to have to drop the A-bomb, you know, because what else do we do? The amount of people dying on both sides was just
catastrophic
and untenable. It was like, it can't go on. So in the end, they just dropped those two atomic bombs.
War was brutal in those days.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
We'll never see war like that again, I don't think. It'll all be a cyber war now, I would have thought, and sanctions and stuff like that.
I mean,
can't
cyber
imagine
war
be a grind
could kill a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think there'll be a ground war like that again. But the other thing that's interesting in there is the D-Day landings are all in there. Everything's in there from about 1941 till the end of the war.
Oh, so it covers everything.
It covers everything, yeah. And there is obviously the British involvement, but it is seen through the eyes of the Americans. And I've never looked at the war in that way before. And it's amazing how useless they were to start with, but how brilliantly refined they got towards the end. And it's superb. I'm absolutely loving all of it. There isn't a bit of it I don't like. And the way they build the stories around these characters that you fall in love with.
Aww.
And you hear letters that they wrote back in the day to their mum and pretending everything was all right and all the time, you know, just hanging on by a thread, you know. It's brilliant. Anyway, prattle on enough. It's superb. Definitely go and watch. I couldn't recommend it enough.
I've got a couple of things I could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
One is an Instagram account that I really, really rather fallen in love with.
Okay.
It's called This Is Alice Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
She's a young girl. She's a London-based illustrator. It's like visual art, like it's quite pop arty. It's very accessible for young girls. But what I like about her is she's an activist. So she's always got a message to her art, but it's done in a way that is kind of cute and accessible. So I've got two teenage girls. They are just about to turn 17 and 19. And this is the kind of site that I think that girls those at that age, you know, anyone 15 to 20 would really like. So I went on there last night. She's got nearly 31,000 followers.
Wow, great.
Which is a lot, right?
Yeah, brilliant.
She started uploading to Insta in her final year of uni. She was studying illustration and visual media, and she just started uploading some of her art. And it all just grew from that. And basically, she stands for, you know, the normal woman. She stands for women like me and fighting for women's rights of all creeds and colours. I went onto her website last night, actually, because you know, you get into a wormhole when you start kind of looking at somebody and you think, oh, she does prints as well. Because I thought some of these pictures, I thought, I want them on my wall.
Yeah.
And I also thought to my daughter's going to university, I thought, oh, I wonder if she does any prints and I can get one for Holly to go and have in her room. And I thought, what would talk to Holly? And I found one which I just thought was so brilliant, which was a picture of a woman really enjoying a track. She's got some headphones on. And you can see she's totally into the music. And at the top it says, man, this song is fire. Like, you know, she's so into it. And this is me and Holly. Like, we love our music. We love a bit of hip hop. We love a bit of, we love some grime. We love kind of like various songs. But underneath it says, but it's also offending me to my core. And I thought, that sounds great, because some of the lyrics in
these
songs... I totally
agree with this. When I hear girls listening to music, where they talk about them being hoes and bitches and stuff like that.
It's terrible.
How are you listening to this?
And you know, I mean, I've always had to say to my son, when he listens to these songs, I always say to him quietly afterwards, you know, this is an inappropriate way to talk about a woman.
Yeah.
And I say to my girls, you know, this is an inappropriate way for me. And they're always laughing at me going, yeah, we know. And I guess I think back to, I'm an antichrist, you know, I'm an anarchist, all of that, Sex Pistols. You know, they were offensive to my parents.
Yes.
Punk was terrible. And so I just kind of think, well, maybe it's just today's punk and there's always got to be a type of music that is going to offend parents. And there should be.
Yes.
You know, we don't
It is offensive, though. I mean, calling girls bitches and hoes is...
It's so offensive. But that has become a terminology that is kind of... par for the course for for guys, it's terminology.
Yeah, is it? It's not terminology I would ever use.
No.
But maybe I'm just too old.
But that's good. But I think as men get older, they stop calling women that.
Yeah.
I think they might call a woman that when they're
younger. They learn their lesson, don't they?
They do. Yeah. They do. They get put in their place.
They get burnt.
Anyway, whilst I was in the wormhole, I learned something else new. So I saw the spelling of woman in a different way.
Oh, okay.
And in our mission to try and stay...
current?
Current, uh-huh. And also a bit woke,
yep.
Like you and me, trying to be woke, uh-huh. Down with the kids. It's spelt WOMXN.
Oh, yes, I've seen
this. Have you seen it?
Yes.
So why is it spelt like that? Do you know?
I have no idea, okay, but so it's to chromosomes?
It's a feminist term, and it is to include trans and non-binary women.
Oh, is it?
And it's still pronounced woman.
But it's spelt with the X.
Or women, but it's spelt with the X because... M-A-N spells man.
Oh, okay.
Woman.
Yeah.
And actually, we need to then include trans and non-binary women, so we say woman, but it's spelt with an X instead of an A at the end.
I have seen that. I thought it was a typo.
Yeah, well, what was interesting was a girl in the comments said, I think you mean woman, not W-O-M-X-N, and then somebody underneath it explained, and I also thought it was a typo.
Yeah.
So I was very pleased that somebody had been brave enough to pipe up.
I mean,
I learned something then, because Alice Skinner deals with, like, lots of different issues on her page. Things like she's dealt with gender pay gap, racial inequality, sexual harassment, consent,
mm-hmm.
all these things that are really difficult for teenagers. And it's very accessible and clever. And I do feel like... women like her change the world. They make it a better place.
Yeah.
And they do it in a very lovely, well, gentle way.
I think I have said this in the past, that I think art will change the world more so than politics.
Mm.
And the fact that she's doing it through the medium of art, I think, is somehow more powerful and more palatable.
Well, it's like Banksy. Look at what Banksy says.
Yeah, he's done he's done some fantastic things, hasn't he? And opened up people to think about the world in a slightly different way.
Mm.
So, I mean, you've shown me some of her artwork now you mentioned that, and it's brilliant. It reminds me very much of that TV show I talked about before lockdown.
Yes.
The Midnight
Gospel.
That
was amazing, yes.
Yeah. It's the same kind of artwork, isn't it? It's slightly cartoonish, but a bit more grown up. Yeah. It looks great. The other Instagram account I would like to talk about is Jane Godley, the woman who takes off Nicola Sturgeon.
We talked about her before, but I think she does deserve to be talked about again.
Yeah.
It is the funniest thing I have ever seen.
Got her name right. Yeah, Jane Godley, and her Instagram page, at Jane Godley, is so funny, I think. And it was because at the Masked Singer you got told off for clicking your pen.
Yes.
Because of the sound. But I love that at the end she says, "Oh, get me clicky pen, Frank, at the door. I want a pie supper." It's just so good, but she's got such a great turn of phrase. If you want something funny to listen to, if you've not heard it already, then go on at Jane Godley. There isn't a day goes by where I don't laugh out loud at whatever it is she is doing. I think it's the way the Scottish people say the word fuck. They say it in such a funny way.
Can you say it in Scottish?
Not really, no. But, I mean, you just need to listen to Billy Connolly, I guess. Because have you ever gone and seen Billy Connolly? He doesn't actually say anything... he doesn't tell a joke particularly. He just tells you a funny story.
In such a brilliant way.
It's the delivery, the way it's communicated, but the accent and the language within the accent, the resonance
of it.
Where's
Billy Connolly from?
Glasgow. He was
doesn't
a shipbuilder
sound
on the
like
Clyde.
Really hard Glasgow.
I think probably if you listened to him in the 70s, it probably did. But now he's lived in America for years and all the rest of it. But it is funny how accents really make a big difference. You'd find... very
I
big
love
Canadians.
Your mum's accent so much.
It's East Coast Scotland. Oh. She's from Dundee. So I love the East Coast accent more than the Glaswegian one. It's very nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even the Aberdeen one's grown on me over the years. Found that a bit harsh, but I much prefer to hear it.
The way she said curly whirly.
Curly whirly.
Curly whirly.
Yeah.
Oh.
She says other things as well, but I do like a curly whirly.
Oh.
Where do you meet me, Gran? I'm sorry, what? What do you say? Very good.
I've got one more thing that we could do very, very quickly.
Great. We've got five minutes left. Mm-hmm.
And that is something that you told me to do in lockdown. Now, you know, sometimes when somebody tells you to do something, they go, this is such a good idea. It's going to save you so much time. It's so helpful. And I don't know what it is, but sometimes it makes you kick against it.
Yes.
Because somebody's told you to do it.
Yep.
And that was one of those things. You said you should try the smart shop at Sainsbury's.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So I was like, oh no. You know, I much prefer just scanning the stuff myself. And then as I started looking, because you'd sort of.
Yeah.
Attuned me to look out for people doing scan and go. I started looking at people with their guns scanning things. I got a bit jealous. Like it felt like they were on a Disney ride, a sort of Buzz Lightyear ride at Magic Kingdom. And I was like, I want to start zapping things. It's a complete game changer. If there's anybody listening, and I know that all supermarkets do it, I'm sorry I've just mentioned Sainsbury's. That's my local. So
yeah, that's my local.
I would imagine that all supermarkets do it.
They do.
And the way that it works at Sainsbury's, just to talk you through it, to sort of hold your hand through it, we walk up to the scanner, which are in sort of slots at the beginning of the supermarket. You touch the screen, you take the scanner, you then scan your Nectar card. You can pick up a Nectar card on the spot and start scanning straight away. I did that. I was like, oh, do I have to fill in the thing? No, they said, no, don't worry. Mm-hmm. Literally just scan the barcode on the Nectar card and off you go. I put the stuff straight in the bag and wait till you take your kids doing it. I mean, Chester was walking around as if he was in an episode of The Wire or something. I mean, he really just was shooting everything. Yeah. It was really funny.
It literally cuts your shopping time down by at least 15, 20 minutes, I agree.
I was so much quicker. What I quite like about it is randomly sometimes they'll stop you. I got stopped.
Yeah, and they checked 12 items.
And they checked 12 items or whatever.
I had that as well.
But that was super quick.
Yeah, yeah. I was bricking it though because I thought, God, I hope I've scanned everything.
Well, I'm pretty sure that it's very easy for people to accidentally steal stuff. Yes, but I don't think that people would mean it. Most people, it would be very easy to do that.
But she started picking things out of the bag and I was thinking, I don't remember scanning that. I don't even remember buying it, let alone scanning it. You know, she's going, oh yeah, you did that. I was thinking, oh, jeez, thank God. It's terrifying that though.
It's like when you get stopped or when you walk through customs at the airport, you've never done anything wrong, but you look so guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was absolutely flabbergasted. All your stuff's in your bag already.
Yeah.
You just literally pick it up and go.
The trick is to arrange your shopping trolley with the bags open ready. So you have a meat bag, a veg bag, and then like pasta bag and all that. And then you distribute. I've taken it to another level, but that's what I do.
This is one of the things.
Yeah.
You know, this is another one of those things
that
I just listen to you say and I think, yeah.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Well, thank you. We've had some messages, so let me just kind of let Fran James messaged on Monday. I've got something wonderful for you. Marmite cream cheese from M&S. A Marmite cream cheese?
No, I mean, I'm willing to try it.
It says, heaven on a breadstick, a perfect snack. They've styled it up on a bagel with bacon and avocado. I like to dunk stuff in it. I think it would be gorgeous on Ravitas for Davina.
Oh, great.
Blah, blah, blah. When I looked online to check before posting, also do a Marmite butter, which we've played around with, I think, put in pasta. She said, I do my shop at Lidl, but I top up at M&S. That's what I do. We are on the same friend.
M&S.
Yeah, I always top up at M&S. They do those £3 for £10 on certain meat products that are fantastic. Thanks, Fran. We will have a little look on that.
I've written that down.
Very good.
She's called Fran?
Yes. Tina Large, thank you for the gift that is Ted Lasso.
Oh.
Why is Friday so far away? It reminds me of Dream Teams. Brilliant. And filmed in Richmond with lots of my old haunts. It is Tina Large. You are very welcome. Lauren McGregor. Just listened to your new season podcast. Brilliant. Love it. Did you see my photo above of homegrown Vivaldi potatoes?
What?
This is right. Yes. They are amazing. Two of my neighbours plus us have a little tatty growing competition each year. Just a bit of fun. And we dig up our first plant together and cook the potato and compare. Ours was astonishingly good. They're growing their own Vivaldis.
Stop it. You can get Vivaldi seeds.
Yeah. Well, I assume you just plant a Vivaldi potato and it would grow a potato plant. I think that. Have you not noticed that a potato, if you keep it long enough, it sprouts things? So I think if you plant that.
Shut up.
I think a plant grows out of it. Next year, you need to grow some order your seeds pots in January or February from Thompson and Morgan, ready for planting in the spring. This is from Laura McGregor.
Hang on.
Thompson and Morgan.
I need to write that down.
I'm so happy you're writing this down, because I am not.
Thompson
and Morgan. And
Morgan. We need order. To
Jan, Feb.
Morgan. Jan, Feb. Order. What am I ordering?
Vivaldi seeds, I guess. Vivaldi
potato seeds. No, but pots. She said something about seed.
Oh. Let's order. Have a look. Next year you need to grow. Order some seed pots.
Seed pots.
What's this? Have you guys tried these kiwi berries yet? I bought them in Lidl, $1.99 in Dublin. Pretty Lidl? Sure the UK must sell kiwi berries. So much easier to eat than regular kiwis. No skin to deal with, no acid shock.
This is another hybrid.
Yeah, because they aren't ripe.
I wonder if David
ripe.
Was on that. David Kane.
They don't have a problem where you buy a pack, eat two, and then the rest go mouldy in the fruit bowl. Look at them. She sent a picture. Look at those little kiwi fruits.
They oh, my God. They look so good. Oh have you God. Got a little near you?
I do, yeah.
Oh, will you get those?
I will get those. That was from Sandra, without a surname. Sandra Rock 29. Sandra Thank you. Rock. And maybe we'll do one more.
Oh.
Davina and Michael, love your work and happy you're returning to my lugs. Can I send you something? My hubby and I have developed making here in Manly, Sydney. We're just starting out with a business, for a friend. Designer glasses and slimline cases that attaches to your phone. Oh, right, that's quite interesting. Variety of strength.
Wait, explain that to me. You're reading it and I'm not understanding.
Yes, sorry, I know I'm rattling through here. So it's designer glasses and a slimline case that attaches to your phone. So I think it's a phone case where your glasses go into it. And I think the glasses are like the ones that Pip's got. Have you seen those? That they're super thin and they just clip onto your nose for if you're reading menus or something like that.
Oh.
So anyway, yes, you can send us some of these because we really need them. I do anyway. So you came to develop this after we misplaced our glasses just when we needed them for texting, reading, shopping, labels, menus, on the go. Yeah, worked out. We always have. It's something you'd like to see. I'd love you to send you some samples. Send us samples, Daryl Sumter.
Wait. Hang on, Daryl, let me just put my glasses on to read this.
You got them.
Because Daryl is saying here that he is in Australia.
Yes. So let me finish because he sent another message
Daryl
here.
Daryl and Dave.
On a side note, Davina, I found out that recently my daughter, Mia, works with your sister at Blackmores.
Yeah, so Blackmores is a vitamin company in Sydney, Australia. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to send you a message, Daryl.
Daryl and Dave.
With my address. Oh, and this keeps popping up. Davina, where was your white top from that you had doing the Philadelphia promo? Maybe you had a nice white top on.
Yes. Jane, that's from Jane Boyne. It's got the puffy sleeves.
Yes.
I have got it at home.
Okay.
I've got no idea where it's from because I'm terrible about things like that. So, Jane, I will go and have a look.
Yeah.
And I will post the answer to you.
Great.
Top from Philadelphia. I'm writing that down. Oh,
that'll be someone sending me a card about something. Oh, these will be my fitness equipment. I've ordered fitness equipment, people. A skipping rope.
I think we should sign off.
And yeah, and I'm gonna review them.
What else did you get?
Those gymnastic rings.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I know. We're going to sign off. Hey, it's been great. I've really enjoyed this. It's been nice to do it in this kitchen rather than all the other kitchens that we do it in. it's great to hear from everybody. Please keep sending us messages and things like that. It's a joy to hear from you.
And let us know what you're trying out or buying or using.
Yes.
And what you're enjoying. And we'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.